Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Chats That Matter podcast, the only podcast exclusively for employees of Cincinnati Bell, Inc. That's CBTS, Onyx, Hawaiian Telcom, and of course, Cincinnati Bell. September is a very important month here at Cincinnati Bell as we feature female leaders in technology. In today's chat, we find ourselves with CEO Lee Fox as he interviews our first ever female board chair, Lynn Wentworth. Lynn is the former senior vice president, chief financial officer, and treasurer of BlueLinx Holdings. Prior to joining BlueLinx, she was most recently vice president and chief financial officer for Bell South Corporation's communications group and held various other positions at Bell South from 1985 to 2007. But before we tune into the chat, I want to welcome Karen Ewing to the pod. Karen is the president of the ERG Aero, and she is joining us to talk about the inaugural RISE conference coming up at the end of September. So Karen, welcome to the pod.
Thanks, Annette. We're really excited about hosting RISE 2019. We've got a great lineup, including Rolla Dogger, who's the president of Cisco Canada, as well as Barbara Perez, president of the YWCA Cincinnati, and Sharon Butler, who is a co-founder of the Bonbonnerie. This event is a great mix of keynote addresses and workshops from some of the freshest minds around, and we're going to be focusing on authentic leadership, difficult conversations, and innovation. Then what makes this event really unique is the second day in which we really think about the balance in our lives. We're going to be hosting workshops on mindfulness, healthy habits, and overcoming negative mindsets. One of our speakers actually said it best when she described Thursday as the inhale and Friday as the exhale. You can get more information about the conference by clicking the link in the podcast description. And guys, this conference is for you too, so I hope you'll join us as well.
So I just want to reemphasize that this conference is for men and women. Gentlemen, don't be afraid to join. Right now, as of the time that we are recording this, which is September 3rd, we have three very brave men. However, we are a company that is almost 76% male. So what that means is we need male allies to step up. Even if you can't attend, I guarantee if you manage personnel, you are managing a couple women. Really encourage them to attend. I think this is a great opportunity for us to all get together and kind of do a little bit of personal development, a little bit of team building. It's going to be a great time. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please reach out to Karen. You can always reach out to me, but we will make Karen's information available in our show notes. So with all that said, time for the podcast. Let's settle in and take a listen.
Well, welcome, Lynn. Good to have you. So we want to start with just learning a little bit about you, your background. So first set of questions really about where you grew up. What did you study in college? And what was your first job out of college?
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, a little bit north of Boston. I went to college. I studied business. I actually started out doing social work in college, but switched schools and then started studying business. Marketing got me really interested, and somehow by default, and when I transferred schools, I ended up in a lot of finance courses. Straight out of college, the public accounting firms were really looking for people, and so I had a couple of opportunities come up and just kind of fell into that instead of going to graduate school. My plan really was to go to graduate school, but I thought some work experience might serve me well.
Yeah, and your social work obviously led you right into being on the board, right? Because I'm sure it feels like social work at times.
At times, yeah. Social well-being and social concern do come in very handy.
That's right. You got a great background for this. So you attended Babson College?
I did.
Okay, and it's a well-known entrepreneurial and business school with great programs. What led you to Babson in the first place?
Believe it or not, my mom led me there. I was accepted at University of Southern California, was all ready to leave Massachusetts and get as far away from home as possible. But mom put a leash on me and took me down about an hour from home to Babson. I really fell in love with the campus, and I think the long and short of it is that it was a great fit for me.
It's one of those colleges. It's like Miami Oxford here, right? Far enough to feel away, close enough to feel like you're at home, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was able to get back home and visit whenever I wanted to, mostly for laundry, but it worked out well. It was a great school. Still is. It gets better every year.
That's awesome. So you had quite a career at Bell South. I don't know that many people know. A lot of that obviously helps quite a bit with the things that we go through. So what led you to Bell South, and could you tell us a little bit about those experiences?
I actually started working in public accounting, but quickly realized that I wanted to work for one company and really get to know that company and feel a part of something instead of moving around from client to client. Bell South was a pretty exciting new opportunity because it was right after AT&T's divestiture happened. So the company was looking for a lot of new talent. They had a lot of organizations that were having to be newly staffed that used to be headquartered in New York. And it was a great opportunity for me to jump in and get started on the ground floor. Why I ended up staying at Bell South is they had a philosophy of moving people around every couple of years. And so while I started at doing corporate tax with them, I moved to probably 4, 5, 6 different roles in the finance organization. I moved into operations. I did some sales strategy work, all kinds of different things across wireless, long distance, and then the communications division of the company. So it was a really, really great training ground.
After Bell South, you worked I think it's Blue Links Corporation. But what led you to Cincinnati Bell and Cincinnati Bell's board?
Yeah, so interesting. While I was working at Blue Links, I had a recruiter call me trying to hire me away for a different CFO job. I told him I really wasn't interested in anything like that, but if he ever had opportunities for board work, at some point when I stopped working full-time, I was going to be looking at joining a board. And it wasn't 2 weeks later that he called back and had the opportunity at Cincinnati Bell and said he needed someone who had communications, business experience, and finance experience. So seemed like a natural fit. I came up and met some of the management and other board members and really liked the opportunity.
So on the Cincinnati Bell board, you've obviously had a wonderful corporate career. You've been on the board for quite a while, and now you have become chairman. You know, I think I'm going to go off script a little bit here, but I think a lot of people listening, you're going to have a lot of women listening. You know, I think, you know, you being a chairman, one of the things I'm a CEO most proud of is that we have a woman chairman, and it's rare, and unfortunately rare. I think most of the women listening, they probably want to know, you know, what were some of the keys to your success as a woman in business, and especially in big corporate America? That's, you know, you've obviously seen success as a woman. What were some of the things that you saw? What would be some of the advice you give? And then, you know, that led you to a board. You've been successful on the board, and you've made it to a chairman role, which again is unfortunately rare for a woman. What advice would you give? And you know, what do you think were some of the keys to that led you to that success?
Well, that's a lot of quite a few questions all packed into one. So let me see if I can take them kind of one at a time. First and foremost, finding something that you feel good doing, finding your strength, leveraging that at work. I think being very open to feedback so that you can develop and understand how what you do affects others around you. I think more than anything, what I've tried to focus on is any place I've ever worked, I really want to find a way to make a difference, really have an impact, not just show up and do what someone asked me to do, but think about how my role affects others around me and find a way to do it better, find a way to really have an impact. I think along the way, I grew up with a couple of younger brothers, and I, for some reason, just always liked following my dad around doing projects and stuff. So I never really thought about gender so much in my approach to things. Obviously, gender is a factor. It's something that we deal with all the time, but I guess I never led with my gender. Just led with what I thought I had to bring and how I thought I could make a difference. And that really helped a lot. I think sometimes if we're looking for differences or looking for how we don't fit in, we can really put ourselves in a corner and take away our ability to contribute. And so I think I would suggest that people kind of balance whether you really feel uncomfortable because of something that's inappropriate or whether you're making yourself feel uncomfortable. You know, don't be afraid to just be who you are and bring what you have to the table. And I think for the most part, that's going to be well received and help you make a difference.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great advice. So shifting back to the boardroom, as the chairman, How would you describe a successful board meeting, and how would you say your style influences a board meeting? A lot of the folks listening haven't had the opportunity to be in a boardroom. Very curious at what happens. It's almost like this mystical place where, you know, mystical things happen, and, you know, we walk out and we have all the answers. And I try to tell people that's not the case. It's a very good dialogue and very good governance. But so how do you think your style would influence the boardroom? And then what would make a good board meeting to you?
Yeah, well, let me step back and just say that the board generally has a couple of major responsibilities. One is working with the company to set the appropriate strategy. And the other one is a combination of oversight of financial, governance, social, different obligations that the company has. What I try to do is make sure that everyone we have in the boardroom who has a wide variety of different experiences is in a position to contribute their thoughts. We all have the benefit of listening to different thoughts and then make a decision in support, generally in support of management, as we move forward. And one of the other board's big roles is selecting and supporting the CEO, especially. The CEO then chooses the management team. But the way I look at our board meetings is Lee is going to be bringing to us his recommendations on things, and it's our job to think about those based on what we know and the experiences that we've had, offer insight, challenge where appropriate, to make sure we fully understand and that he and his team have thought through what their recommendations are, and then support the team in our efforts to move forward. A successful board meeting has a number of engaged directors who are bringing their experiences to bear in a constructive, not always harmonious, but a constructive discussion to make sure that we get out all kinds of differing perspectives and then take that information and turn it into the most well thought out path forward.
That's absolutely right. And we won't, it's a whole nother podcast to go through how fortunate you probably feel to have me as the CEO. We'll save that for a different podcast. But, I talk to employees quite a bit. And one of the biggest questions right now, obviously, centers around the stock price. I get a lot of questions about the stock price and what's happening in the sector. And honestly, a lot of what can we do to help? And, I obviously give them the CEO answer, but I'd love to hear the chairman and the board's perspective on, you know, what's happening in the sector, and then what can employees do to help?
Yeah, the sector is under tremendous pressure right now. It seems that there's an irrational indifference in the sector, and the stock price has really suffered. The value of the business has not changed. The intrinsic ability of the company to provide products and services, generate cash flow, and continue to operate is the same. The things that we can do are basically to continue to do our jobs, provide the best service possible. The stock price will take care of itself one way or another. We can only control what we can control. We are obviously continuing to interact with our investors, our analysts, our bankers, and want to see an improvement in the stock price. But we have other stakeholders that are also important, our employees, our community, and our customers. And we've got to do the best we can for them. And this over time should sort itself out.
Exactly right. And, you know, we tell people constantly that the best thing we can do is execute right now, right? Keep our heads down and do what we say we were going to do. And that, you know, imagine what it would be like if we weren't doing that, right? And then all this stuff was happening around us. So shifting a little bit to culture, we spend a lot of time focusing here on culture and developing a culture that is transparent, open, is led by employees. In your experience, what are some of the more interesting cultures that you've seen in your time, and where do you rank culture in respect to how an organization runs?
Culture is super important. It's an amorphous thing. It's hard to actually describe or put your finger on exactly what causes a culture to form, but a strong culture where everyone kind of knows how they fit and that they fit and that they're all pulling for the same thing makes a huge difference. You know, it's really interesting. I can think of organizations where somehow it's just become a super fun place to work and people work really hard, like crazy hours, they're never off, and they feel so energized. And then others where if there's an overbearing manager or resources aren't provided or people just don't feel like they're being valued or treated right, then just working a low-key 8-hour day just feels like drudgery and people are drained. And so culture is really important. I know Lee's done a lot of work around bringing everybody to work as they are and just really fully engaging and being able to make a difference with the skills that they have. What I've noticed in places that I've worked is to the extent that you can encourage people to feel comfortable taking risks, to try things, to just be themselves, it's amazing how creative people can get, how much of a difference people can make, and how, compared to maybe a command and control culture where people just come to work and do what they're supposed to do, do what they're asked to do, specifically what they're asked to do, no more, no less. When you can get a culture going where people feel empowered to think about what they're responsible for, what the company is trying to accomplish, if you set people free within that guideline, it is really unbelievable what a difference can happen. In a couple parts of my career, I was asked to lead organizations where I had never literally worked a day in my life in that area. And so I came in with virtually no skills for that. And the challenge really was, how do I lead people who know so much more than I'll ever know about this area? I used to use a series of questions, just asking about what people were proudest of that they'd accomplished, what kinds of things got in their way, and if there was one thing I could do or one thing I should not do to help them be more effective in their job, just lay it out. And people were sometimes a little skeptical at first, but after a while, once they really trusted that I meant that and I would follow through on that, it was unbelievable how much more productive and successful and creative the organizations became. And it happened more than one time. So really, really culture and trust can make a huge difference. Takes a while to get that going and to get that to congeal. And sometimes you have to make some hard decisions when people don't fit, but usually a lot better off and it's a lot more fun for everyone.
We talk, we talk a lot about culture and transparency and you know, fail fast, and recover and, all the things that, we believe lead to a good culture. But honestly, one of the things that I do also is when I'm out talking to people, I relay conversations that, for instance, I've had with you on different subjects. One of the conversations that really struck me recently, and I've told this to employees when I'm out talking to them, is when you saw your old boss at Bell South, and I think he asked what you're up to, and you said, well, one of the things was you're on the board of Cincinnati Bell, and his response was, what, all those guys are still around? And it was very apparent in that conversation that, to me, that we have done some very special things as an organization to continue to be who we are in a very tough sector, a very tough business, a business that's always evolving. And you've been a part of the board in the organization for over 10 years now. Over that 10 years, what would you say you're kind of happiest about? When you look at us as an organization and you get to interact with us, what are you most impressed with?
I'm most impressed with the courage and ingenuity of the company. I'll go back to some decisions that we've made along the way that involved selling the wireless business so that we could invest in fiber. That was a huge thing because fiber, for most people, was a relative unknown in terms of what it could turn into. But wireless was something that everybody had to have and everyone did have and seemed to be growing. And it felt almost counterintuitive to get rid of something that was a sure thing, to go for something that was more of a maybe we can do it kind of thing. And if we look back on that decision, what's really kept us healthy relative to peers in our sector is the fact that we've got fiber revenue streams coming in from both a consumer business and an enterprise basis. Another courageous decision that the company made was to buy a data center company and combine that with the organic data centers that that the company had started for primarily one large client. That turned out to be a multi-billion dollar benefit for the company that's helped the company keep its balance sheet safe. You know, I'd say courage, as I've already mentioned, but also discipline. And it's hard to do both. It's hard to be careful and focused on your financial well-being, but also make some really courageous bets. And so that's what I'd say I'm kind of proudest of from my time on the board and most impressed with. And this has all happened through a number of leaders, lots of different people. So I feel like that's really part of the company's culture. It's you know, might be down sometimes, but it's never out.
I agree. A great answer. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations again.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to working even more closely with you than I already have. I've got a long history.
We'll just end it with that. Yes. But yes, thank you so much for joining us and congratulations. And I know you're always open for meeting with employees also, and employees
absolutely
will have more opportunity to hear from you and hopefully meet you in person. And with that, we'll end the session. Thank you.
Thank you.